This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Well, good morning. Scott Wells here for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and it is day number, officially day number two. This is the 11th, is that right? Today is the 11th, which is Thursday. And I'm here with one of the co-convention chairmen. First, there is Tom Vorjehan, who is not here right now. Also, we have, who else want to think about? Oscar Munoz, who is not here right now. But I do have Mr. Ken Scott. Hey there, Ken.
Hey, how are you?
Fantastic. Yeah. Shouldn't there be like a board meeting or something going on?
I'm sure there's one going on somewhere.
Somewhere. It seems like this whole convention is made up of meetings and board meetings and things, as I recall.
But it seems like it. But yeah. It seems like it's going well. We're having a good time. We're basically in day two, almost day three, because we started loosely on Tuesday night.
With the Steve Bergazzi lecture, which is really good.
So, everyone's still walking up straight, so that's a good thing.
Now, one thing I always like to ask a convention chairman is an estimate about how many people have attended. What have you got?
I think this year we're getting close to 500.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. I'd heard 400 plus. I didn't know.
Yeah,
we had a lot of walk-ins.
We've had several walk-ins, so yeah. I think we're, paid, I think we're right around 450, but I think we have close to 500 when you count the dealers.
I can understand why we would have walk-ins. It's 115 degrees out there. People are walking in because it's air conditioned in here.
Yeah. It's dry heat, though.
So. Okay, I'm going to start counting that. That's number 12, I think I've heard. Thanks to Michael Finney. And Michael's done a great job, of course, of bringing in some great talent.
Sure.
And he's just been a boon to this organization in so many ways and been great as a president. Looking forward to seeing Alex. I talked with him, and he is just an exciting, charismatic kid, and he's got all these great ideas.
Man. He really is. It's going to be great. I think the convention's got a different look this year. We all kind of teamed up and thought, how can we give it a different feel, different spin? And I think we've done that here. I think the production of it, the theater of it, looks good. With our production and the way we lit up, it was kind of not using a proper theater like we've done in the past has been a challenge. But I think we conquered that by making our own theater. I think there's better seats in some cases. So
more and more conventions are going that way. We did that at the TAOM many years ago, which we had stopped doing started doing it at the convention hotel and stopped doing it at the theater. But I know the IBM always wanted to give registrants a theatrical experience of going to a legitimate theater.
Well, we're in the desert, and we looked around here, and you obviously can't walk to a theater.
No.
There is a theater
even
here.
Even a block away.
Yeah, you can't even. We're literally in the desert out here. There's nothing to walk to, so it would have to have been bussed. Or carpool to the nearest theater, which wasn't cheap, and the theater that was here in this property was like $7,000 just to rent per night.
Wow.
So if you do that three nights, that's $21,000, and that was just to flip the lights on.
That doesn't include the union and all that.
Does not include the labor.
And the transportation, of course.
Well, that theater's here.
Oh, okay.
It's a showroom that's here on the property.
Years ago, I was at Michael Finney's, one of his Dry Heat Classics. Yep. And he had Oscar Munoz and several other people who were working at who were in the golf tournament, also performing. And I was in that theater, so I know what you're talking about. Yeah. So just $7,000, just don't turn on the lights.
Just to flip them on, and then you have to get, if you want more lights, more microphones.
Yeah.
It's like an a la carte menu. And I said, we just can't afford that. I'd rather had spent it on what we've got right now. And if we're a group of 1,000 people, then we go out and find a theater. But when you're 500 people, I think building a ballroom, and I think it feels intimate in there. Even this big theater we've built, I still think it has an intimate feeling.
I like this. And the fact that this hotel has the ability to do that, and I think it's kind of good also because you're not going up and down escalators.
Right.
You've got elevators. Everything's on the same level.
I mean, we'll start tomorrow. We'll just go downstairs one floor to our breakout rooms where we'll have our close-up and other things like that. But for the most part, everything is on one floor. So, it's right here. So we have to go far. You can go get a drink right down the street here. I mean, like five walks. So
yeah. It's very convenient and a huge pool out here. And I understand that tomorrow they're going to have some big rave between 1 and 7 p.m. When we checked in at the hotel, they said, there'll be a little bit of noise outside. I got a DJ and everything going on out here. So
great.
Well, I'm not going to sleep during the day. That's fine. Don't worry.
Yeah, well, we'll go out there and party with them during the day, I guess. But
How many dealers have we got this year?
Oh, I think there's 21.
Okay, that's a lot of dealers.
21, that's a lot of dealers. It's more than we've ever had. But we made it where we're not making much money on that. We pretty much made it cost efficient for them to come be a part of it.
More and more conventions are doing that.
Yeah, because we know it costs them money to get here.
And that's the draw for convention registrants is to have them come to the dealers. So you want to encourage them. Maybe.
Absolutely. So we did that. So it's less money for them to be a dealer, but it did cost a lot of stuff for them to be here and pay a hotel. So
Now, being an organizer already, that you've seen some things that have already happened, what is it that that you're looking forward to still, that people who are listening to this think, man, I need to come down here tomorrow?
The Doug Henning experience.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Is he just going to have that open the one night, or is it going to be open
It's going to be over several.
Okay.
But when he's finally got, I think, polished up in there and looking good. But it's going to be just to go back in time and see the stuff that you've seen on TV and back in the 70s, early 80s, it's just amazing.
Well, Chip is the Henning collector.
Oh, he is, yeah. But I'm excited for everybody to see that. It's going to be – he's got his own room, and to see the backdrop that Henning used, the theatrical backdrop on this huge wall –
right
up and looking at it, you just go back in time.
Part of his collection was at Magic Live, in which Stan had him bring out some of that, and they had that with Copperfields and other people's collection, but that was a microcosm. I've been to Chip's house several times, and I know he owns probably more than 80% of Doug's things, you know.
That's what he said, and he's looking for more.
Yes, exactly. And he was saying that although he's being paid for this, he's got another $5,000 more out of his own pocket just because he said, I want to make this right.
He wants to make it right, and that's how Chip is. And it'll still look great in there. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, between that and obviously the shows every night, I think Saturday night's show is going to be a fun show just with having Rudy Kobe and Kevin James in there and Les Bloom in there, Sean and Mike Fiorentino. Who else we had in that show? Yeah, it's the last gala show is going to be fun. And then we're doing the Guinness Book of World Records with the most linking rings.
That's right.
So I think that in itself...
Explain that.
So
quick.
Basically, we have Monty Witt who has set this up, and I think we have to have 228 rings linked together. Everything has to be linked. And by doing so, if we do that, we break a record that's already set, and then we get... you can get... it's good for the PR for the IBM. It's good PR for you individually to go back home and say, hey, I was part of this Guinness Book World Record.
Right.
And you can get yourself a certificate. And, you know, like I said, it's good PR that you can put on your own.
And it's going to be on Saturday?
We're doing it Saturday night after the gala show.
Okay.
We've got linking rings here that people can purchase for $10 a set. And all the proceeds go to first responders. So... if you don't have Lincoln rings, we got them.
Which is another thing, by the way, that they are doing a raffle for a guitar signed by Alice Cooper.
Yeah. So Alice Cooper lives here in Scottsdale, and Finney is really good friends with him. So we got a signed guitar from him. We're going to raffle that off, I believe. It's either tonight or tomorrow night, but it's one of these two nights we're raffling that off. So we're excited about that.
That's
it's
cool.
Fun.
You know, just wrapping up real quick, and we got to run because they got John Ferrantino's lecture right now. And that is that, you know, you and I were doing convention reports for Dodd Vickers, which kind of encouraged me to do this convention, because what happened is I kept sending these to Dodd, and he said, well, that's good, but he said, I don't want my podcast to just be a convention report podcast. He said, why don't you start your own? I thought that's a good idea. So I've got you to help and also to thank, help kind of pushing me.
Well, you,
I'm glad you're doing this.
You're the man now.
Well,
you're the only man now.
Pretty much, last man standing. That I've got just had 500 that I released just with Uri Geller. So for those people who didn't know that, go back and listen to this one. It was just released. This was number 502 that's being released with this convention that we're talking about right now. But number 500 was with Uri Geller. 501 was the not the kind of jeans, but 501 was a day one from the convention I've already released. So it's already out there and posted. So.
Wow.
Anyhow.
Well. Great job what you're doing. You're getting the word out.
Thank you. And I encourage everybody also who's listening to this, if you're anywhere near the Phoenix, Arizona area, drive on over. It's not that far. I'm sure if you're in L.A. or Vegas
great one-day passes right now at $125 for a one-day pass, and that does get you obviously in the shows. It gets you in the Doug Henning experience.
The dealers.
It gets you into the dealer's room. So it's you know, it's a great deal for a one-day pass. You do really get your money's worth for $125.
Yep. And with all the people here, my gosh, you can hardly drop a wand without seeing some magician someplace.
We've got people that stop by. We got Franz Harari stopping by here. We got a lot of big names that have come by and just hanging
out. You got a nice flow. You know, this is a nice hangout area.
It is.
Too,
it really is. It's the hotel is beautiful here. We're lucky to be here. And I think, like you said, no one's going outside. So
so we're all staying in. That's true. They got plenty to eat and drink and whatever. So and do magic here. So Ken, thanks again very
much. Thanks, man. You're great.
Okay. It's for the Magic Word Podcast. That was Ken Scott, one of the co-chairmen, and also coming up as second vice president. Has that been officially?
Today's
okay. Congratulations.
I guess that's where you gaveled in.
That's right.
I got time to back out. I'm running.
Help. Congratulations. Good luck. And so the Magic Word Podcast. That was Ken Scott. This is Scotty out. All right. Well, Scott Wells from the Magic Word Podcast again. And we just finished with John Ferrantino's lecture, which was interesting. I thought it was going to be more about comedy and writing, scripting comedy and everything. But it turned out to be talking about seances, which is fantastic, because I'm hoping to sit down with him a little bit later today and actually have a longer podcast that you guys will get to enjoy, because I like to have something that's kind of has a spooky theme as we get closer to Halloween, to give you some ideas of how that you can also make some money. And he's got a lot of really great ideas on conducting seances and everything then as well. But as we're kind of going back over the room and kind of walking through the lobby, that I see my buddy Banachek over here, and that the fellow who is working then, booking agent, I guess his agent will be the proper manager. Of course, it'll be Tyus
France. It's all right.
France. That's right. Please say hello to
hi, everybody.
Sorry. And so I wanted to talk with you because that you were saying, Tyus, that you really don't attend many conventions.
Very, very rarely do I show up. It's not that I don't like them. I think the information's fantastic, but I try and keep myself relatively busy, and that's easy to do now that I'm working with this guy. Banachek keeps me pretty busy.
Yep, I understand. I'm glad that, that he's got you, that you got Banachek, that you got him. People had asked me before, are you his manager? I said, no, I just work with him on the books, I'm glad you got somebody who's like, putting their nose to the grindstone over here. So as far as conventions, how are you enjoying this one, Tyus?
I'm having a great time. I've enjoyed seeing a lot of friends from both from my past, but it's strange. A lot of people from Vegas ended up coming out here, so it's strangely like a reunion from all the people that I see every week, and hey, guys, what's up? Yeah. Now we're all in Arizona for... So that's a good time, and it's kind of fun. Thank you for having me on the podcast. One of my thrills is weekly doing a podcast with Banachek. So we do Banachek's Brain, and it's interesting being on a new Magic podcast. I'm excited about it.
And we were just talking about the Banachek's Brain last evening, about some of the episodes and everything. And so I know that you work with him, and that it's a weekly deal. Is it, or how often does it come out?
Yeah, it comes out every week on Sunday at noon.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's about psychology, entertainment, magic, obviously. But yeah,
it's important to have some sort of continuity. That's why I always have mine on Thursdays. I've decided it has to be some time, and so regardless of what's happening, I always have something that's going to be coming out, regularly that as well. As far as this convention, then, who have you seen, or who do you expect and looking forward to seeing? Or are you just, I know you're here with Banachek, but I mean,
I'm looking forward to Banachek's show, of course,
well,
on Friday.
Who isn't?
that's what I'm looking forward to.
But second of that,
I am a big fan of Mike Hammer. And everything he does. I love Bizarro as a friend, as a performer, as an inventor. I think he's brilliant. It was great seeing who was hosting last night?
Michael Finney?
Finney has so much experience on stage that there's a level of comfort in seeing him perform. Doesn't matter what's going on. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The earthquake could be taking place. The walls could be coming down around him. Everything's going to be fine. Finney's on stage. You're in good hands.
Yeah.
So that was absolutely wonderful. Give me the other.
How'd you like the show last night with Kozak?
It was great. I haven't seen Kozak since he was in World's Greatest Magic in Vegas.
Yeah.
And
was that the Greek Isles?
It was. Yeah. Which is I ended up doing like the last performance there.
Did you?
Yeah. Right before they blew up the building.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, that seems to be a theme in my life.
It's the reason why.
Yeah, and I know that you worked the Magic Island way back when. Of course, that's not around. We'll be again. We'll
that's
have you back again.
I'm excited about that. Okay. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah.
That's thrilling to me. I it was great to see him reinvent himself into something different. Like, he's changed his geography, and with that, he has really reinvented himself. I'm talking about Kozak, of course.
Yeah, and he never leaves Hawaii now. This was unusual that he was here. Actually, he was just here for less than 24 hours. He's gone already.
Yeah, I hear they usually don't allow him on planes is what is the cause of that.
What did you think about last evening's show? Did you hear the lecture? I say lecture. It was just kind of a roundtable kind of discussion that they had, the comedy thing?
I did not. I was out here with Armstrong. And
John. What was John showing you?
He was doing just a series of magic foolers, and they were great. And he's so humble and honest and, like, transparent with everything. He has a very Yoda-esque feel to talking with him, where you're like, he's just a master of so many good things, but there's no arrogance within that.
Did he have a pretty good crowd around him, or was he sessioning, or just you and him?
It was me and a few other people that had come around, and it was just great to watch people that care a lot about an art form.
Sure, which is kind of cool. I think the way that this is set up, that it's we just like where we are right now, kind of in the foyer here, with at a table that allows for people to session and kind of sit around and talk and learn some tricks and things.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm also excited about the new president, the youngest president we've, and he just got sworn in today, or he's about to get sworn in?
About to be, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, Alex Zander from Canada.
Yeah, that's very, very exciting. I think it's a great thing to bring in new blood, young blood, and attract a young audience that might understand a different demographic.
Absolutely, yeah. He does understand that and recognizes that we're going to have to move into the future because we haven't for a long time and get some younger people. I mean, that certainly that if it wasn't for Michael Finney, we wouldn't be able to bring a lot of the talent we've, like Kozak, for an example, you know, that he's had that kind of thing. And also that shows the international appeal from the standpoint that Alexander is from Canada, even though it's a country north of here in the U.S. Still, I think that it shows how expansive, I guess, our organization is.
Yeah, and there are so many young people here, too, that it's fantastic. I don't know Gabby's last name. Do you know? Have you met her yet?
No, I have not.
She's this young performer, 15 years old, absolutely crushing it.
Stage performer?
Well, she started off doing cards, and now she's got a bunch of escapes and everything. It's not really that. It's the psychology of the passion of going for it so hard. Like, oh, I need to graduate high school early so that I can apply to get into UNLV in Vegas so that I can train. And it's just like, she's so driven and so directed. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm 37, and I'm not that directed.
She's
like,
16?
I still haven't figured it out. She's 15.
15?
She's 15 years old, and she has, like, she's lining up those dominoes to just, like, win. And so
she's got a goal.
Oh, I'm very excited about the future of that kind of passion and that kind of drive. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to look back at the past and go like, oh, these kids today, they're not doing all the things that I'd recommend. But I'm looking at them, I'm like, I'm really excited. They're going to absolutely dominate and supersede everything that I've ever done. I'm really excited to see what that holds.
Well, when I was talking with Jeff McBride and Lance Burton and with Alex also about the Lance Burton Teen Seminar, apparently they've really been knocking out of the park this year. And it's continuing to go on. Typically it goes on like before the convention. There's kind of a pre-convention and that did, but it's still going on today. You know. So and there are a lot of kids who are involved with this that are getting into magic and learning a lot from the real pros.
Yeah, it's fantastic. They get tremendous exposure to a lot of great material, a lot of great minds, and I honestly feel like they're actually giving back in quite a way of providing that energy and that excitement and that different perspective that we lose after doing the same thing over and over and over again. It's great to have fresh ideas.
That's true. And that's the great thing about, I think, with the international appeal of this organization, that we do have a lot of people who are coming in from other countries, that we're encouraging that then as well, to see what other countries are doing rather than just being incestuous of the Americans doing things, you know. So we not just have Canada, but other countries obviously coming in for this as well. A lot of, I don't know how many are here, but from other countries.
Both of them.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Several. And a lot of other organizations, I don't think necessarily the entire recognize the youth and the importance of propagating our art and the continuance of this, because it seems like after a period of time, I mean, we're going to be getting old and dying. I am getting old. I'm going to die. You know, but I need to have some people, so I'm glad to hear about Gabby.
This
you know,
the
people like that. You know? Yeah, well, I don't want to end on a bad note, but I'm just saying.
Tell us more about your impending death.
Well, I'm not feeling all that great. And you're not looking so swell
yourself.
That's
the truth. That's the truth.
Even Banishak's getting gray hair.
By design.
Yeah, by design. That's right. No longer the red hair flash in the front. Anyhow, yeah, I'm just excited about the youth getting involved because, again, that's going to be our future. We have to encourage them, and I'm glad that we do at the organization here. So, anyhow, glad that you came. And so what's your next big project? Are you going to be going and working with
Banishak? We've got some big projects that I can't divulge yet, which is unfortunate. So we got the podcast happening. Check that out, Banishak's Brain. We've got him touring everywhere, so you'll find him on the road. Check out Banishak's website for that. There's all kinds of fun stuff taking place in Vegas, so if you make it out there, go see a magic show there, because we've got tons of them. So go buy some tickets. It helps us keep the lights on.
Yeah, because they're barely getting by out there.
Just squeaking by.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Tyus. Scotty out. All right, Scott Welch with MagicWordPodcast.com, and we're kind of awaiting here a little bit of a break here Thursday afternoon. Right now, the other brothers are supposed to be lecturing, but they had an emergency or something that came up, and so there was another alternate event, which is going to be happening here just within the next half hour or so, and we'll go check that out here shortly. But anyhow, one of the people who had lectured today is John Ferrantino, and he was talking about seances. He's my guest today. Hey, John.
Hey, how are you doing?
Fantastic. So you don't really do, I know you've been doing magic forever, but have you actually been performing at conventions? I haven't seen you. I mean, I go to a lot of conventions.
Yeah, it's funny. I do a lot of magic conventions.
Do you?
I mean, yeah.
Where have you been recently? Which one?
Well, I did Daytona. I do the Battle of Magicians.
I wasn't there.
I'm doing Abbott's.
Well, coming up, yes.
Coming up.
Okay, yeah. That's a fun one.
I've I used to do the Tannins ones. I did Bob Little, mostly East Coast stuff. I think that's why. It's all East Coast stuff.
That could be.
So I'm hoping to get more West Coast stuff.
Yeah. So how are you enjoying this one?
This is great. I mean, this is so much fun. I've just seen so many old friends, and I just ran into Gene Anderson.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Gene Anderson was one of the first lectures I ever went to in my life when I started.
Was that in Hawaii?
No, it was actually at the Tannins Jubilee.
Because I heard him lecture with his part-time professional lecturer in Hawaii. In fact, he's the one who got me started with kind of my career in a way as far as writing, because he was supposed to have been writing an article for the Lincoln Ring magazine. And he said, you know, I really don't want to write this up. He said, Scotty, well, he said, you're a good journalist. He said, why don't you write this up? And so I did. I wrote this and it ended up you know, being published. But so that's when I started doing some other things for Genie and other magazines. But I remember that lecture, and I've still got his original lecture notes, and that completely changed my way of thinking as far as being an amateur versus a part-time professional. Because when you perform, you're professional.
Yeah, and he used to say, remember he said in the lecture, he goes, it's much harder for a part-time magician than a full-time magician.
Right.
And at the time, I was
to hold two jobs.
An x-ray technician, you know, and I was like, wow, that really meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
He just came up to me. It was so incredible. Because I mean, this is a guy that I have so much respect for.
Yeah.
And he just came up to me, and he hugged me, he goes, that was the best lecture I ever saw.
You know, I was at the booth whenever he came over, and Chris was taking a picture, you know, of you. Wait a minute. And he was saying, yeah, that was the best lecture. He was giving you all these kudos.
It was
and
like, I was like,
you were like a kid.
Yeah, it's like, because it's like somebody you really respect, you know? Yeah. That was really
the newspaper guy. Yeah.
I'm going to Chris. You know that newspaper trick I do? That's the guy who invented it.
He's got a great book out, by the way, too. I think it's called The Book. You know,
yeah, he said he was going to show me. I want to see that.
Oh, yeah, you need to get a copy of that. It's got a really everything he's ever done. You know, it's been there. It was a labor of love. He's been working on that for years.
They told me that he produced it. He wrote it. He learned how to use Illustrator.
Every year.
You guys, I even picked up the truck to bring the books back.
A little bit of everything. When we were at the 4F convention annually, that we'd get together for breakfast, and he would give an update. Well, here's what I've done this past year. You know, I mean, it's a slow process,
right,
as you know, to write a book over there. So anyhow, you're enjoying the convention. Are you going to be on one of the evening shows coming up as
Saturday night.
That's going to be a great show.
I'm closing the first half, I think.
Okay. You remember who else is going to be on? I know that Rudy Kobe and Kevin James
are going to be on. Yeah, they're in the second half.
And Mike Hammer is going to be with you?
I'm not sure. Like I said, we flew in yesterday.
Okay.
We just got a registration
Are you living in Long Island or Florida?
I live in Florida.
Florida, okay.
I live in Florida. So I didn't really know. I just saw Mike Finney last time. He goes, you're going to kill on your spot. You're closing the first half. It's like, it seems like an old comedy show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's what it sounds like. It's going to be a lot of comedians are going to be on there. So you did the thing last evening, which was the comedy panel with Paul Kozak, and had Nick DeFott was there as well, and Mike Hammer and Michael Finney and Robert Bax and yourself, and that was just a great thing. And one of the things I thought was kind of funny as well was when you guys were comparing notes as to what had happened in
battle scars.
That's exactly right. And you were saying, well, look at my hand over here. This biker chick could stab you in the hand or something, you know. And
the scissor.
The scissors, yeah. And Kozak had a dent in his arm for something. He had gotten hogtied, I guess, at a 100-foot rope escape. And then Michael was saying, yeah, I almost cut off my finger. You know, look at this. It's Finney. So anyhow, yeah, it was very funny. It was very educational and interesting. And it seemed like that Cozy was the one who was had the most advice to give. I mean, he seemed to be the most serious of everybody. You know, he had a lot of good ideas and everything. You need to read one thing I want to share with everybody is to read the first 62 pages of Tarbell.
Well, we had a big discussion before it started backstage, Coase and I, and we were saying about how, you know, like you would say in the lecture, we're talking about that burn trick, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With the thing.
The blister.
Yeah, that was like something I read in Tarbell like 100 years ago that I thought was cool.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden I went, wow, I remember that again. You know, when we were talking about how a lot of magicians right now, you know, they're good magicians, but they just want to be able to perform it right away.
Right.
You know I mean, they don't do the research and, you know.
It's immediate gratification. I think it has a lot to do with the general reality shows and media and telephones.
Mike Cameron made fun of us for reading.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Well, that's Mike's thing, you know. He's a funny guy. He's just, in fact, he had said something to me yesterday, and he said, "I hope you know, don't take that to offense." And I said, "No, you know, it's just his style, you know." He's a funny guy. Well, I'm glad that you're here and that you're really adding a lot to this convention, and it's been just a whole heck of a lot of fun. Have you been in the dealer's room? And you pick up anything? Are you working in the dealer's room? Your booth there? Or?
Chris, my partner, has the dealer's booth, and he's got some amazing new stuff, man.
Okay. That are mostly seance kinds of things.
All paranormal stuff.
Yep. Well, that one little thing, that EVP, you know, is look like a killer. I'm going to have to go down and check that out myself.
Yeah, it's great. We have a pro model of this, like 25 different voices.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, it's cool.
Sounds great.
We got some amazing stuff there. We really do.
And for people who are not at the convention, where could they go and find that kind of stuff?
It's arcanerelics.com.
Arcanerelics.com. Got it. Okay. Well, perfect. Good. John, thanks very much. And enjoy the rest of the convention. Thanks for sitting behind the microphone. So the Magic Word Podcast with John Ferrantino, Scotty out. All right, well, Scott Welch with MagicWordPodcast.com, and we are getting ready to go over to the other brothers are not going to be lecturing, I think, as I had mentioned a few moments ago, but we've got somebody else who are some other people who are going to kind of fill in. And Tom Vorjahan is probably going to tell us about this, but I got with me also right now Ron Hudspeth. Hey there, Ron.
Hi, how you doing?
Fantastic. And also one of the co-convention chairmen, Tom Vorjahan. Hi there, Tom.
Hey, Scott. How are you?
Fantastic. So I was just talking about the fact that I guess the other brothers are not going to be. What is taking their place in right now here?
We're going to have magic pop up out of the wall. So you've got Stephen Bargatze, John Armstrong, and who else?
Sean Farquhar.
Yes, I can't say Farquhar, so I skipped that for a second until Ron
can kind of help you. That's right.
Yeah, so they're going to just jump in and put it together. A lecture.
It's like a teach a trick thing.
The things that they weren't going to cover in their other lectures. Mm-hmm. So I think it's awesome.
That's great. And you're working then with the TVPs then also, Ron? Or
actually,
what?
I just
stepped down.
Just stepped up. Just finished my term.
And Jeffrey Allen's taking your place.
Allen's taking the place, yes.
I didn't know there was a term for that, Ron. He just quit on us is what he did, I think.
You've
done a great job.
Every president is supposed to appoint a new one, so that's when the president comes in, I would consider that a term.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, then he had
it's
lots
been a
of
pleasure.
Terms, and he did great. He was awesome at it. So.
I think so, then as well. What do you guys see as, just real quickly, as an accomplishment? First of all, let me ask you, since I know you got to run here real quick, Tom, but because you got some other duties, as far as what has been a hurdle that you've overcome that you were able to do with this convention? I mean, for example, that we don't have a quote, legitimate theater, so we had to build a theater here.
Let's go back to the beginning.
Okay.
So, you know, the IBM's supposed to be 2-3 years out with knowing where we're going to be.
Sure.
And when we were sitting at this time last year at the convention
in Grand Rapids,
we didn't have this nailed down.
Wow.
And so we're a little up in the air. It's getting tougher and tougher. Unless we can get more and more people to come, mm-hmm. it's hard to secure the level of hotel that we want to have for our membership. Mm-hmm. So when you start to struggle to get 400 people, mm-hmm. We'd rather have 800 to 1,000 people than we can get
those. Those days are gone.
I don't know
everybody.
If they should be gone. No, they're not gone. FISM just told us that they had 2,500 people signed up. So
worldwide.
It's not gone. Okay. It's not gone.
Okay.
I mean,
what are they doing? We're not doing.
I guess having all day long magic competitions? I don't know.
Or every third year?
Yeah, well, that's a thing, too. It's kind of like, you know, with the joint IBM and SAM convention. Those seem to be better attended when we have joint conventions rather than having just the
But I don't think the last joint convention was that huge.
It was over 1,000, wasn't it? You remember, Ron?
I didn't make that.
Was that the one in St. Louis?
No.
No?
So St. Louis was the one before.
Was it they did Nashville? Louisville?
Louisville.
Yeah, Louisville.
Yeah. How do you pronounce the capital of Kentucky?
Frankfurt.
Yeah.
But, I think that's the biggest hurdle is finding great places like this. I mean, this is a major, gorgeous resort.
It really is. And Michael Finney, of course, put this together at the last minute, sounds
I'm
like.
I'm sure a lot of people sat there and looked at the weather that's not going to go below 111 degrees while we're here. But I've not been outside yet.
I'm wearing jeans because I'm not going outside. I'm staying where it's air conditioned. I don't care, if it's 120 out,
Yes, I have very fashionable pants on myself.
Well, Yeah, you're known for those. Okay, I'm going to take a picture of that so people can go to the blog and see these right. pantaloons.
Be sure
that
you do.
I will do that. And then as far as some of the things that you've been working on.
Probably, I'd say the biggest accomplishment we got under board direction is I got all of the TVPs up on email addresses that they're happy to respond to. We have direct hot links on the magician.org website. If you go to the TVP page, Territorial Vice President page, wherever you're at, unless it's a position that we have not been able to fill, there is a hot link that you can click that shows the name of the TVP, and it will actually launch your email client and send a note and say that it's a contact from the web page, so the TVPs know that this is about IBM business and they can ask the questions. You know, the territorial vice presidents are the extension of the executive and specifically the international president, and so we've made it easier for people to reach out to their more local representation. For especially in the international, because these are going to be the guys who are going to be able to translate Alex's Canadian English into whatever their language is. So that probably, I would say, it's the one I'm most proud of. A lot of things behind the scenes. When I took the job over more than 3 years ago, there really wasn't a way to go. There wasn't any specific instructions. There are some things in the bylaws about the responsibilities and that. Well, as I turned over the reins, I have built a 25-page continuity book. But basically, I just said, you know, from when I walked in, what am I doing? And every time I did something new, I wrote it down in the book. Actually, I used Blogger to do daily blogs so I could build it from there. But I just said, what am I doing? What is somebody, if somebody were to walk in and not know anything about doing the job, what would they do? And now we have a continuity book in the position, and I'm pretty sure Jeffrey Allen's going to add a lot to that, but I gave him everything I could.
So we could stand on your shoulders.
We stand on the shoulders of, in my case, not necessarily giants.
We've done a yeoman's job. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thanks also for taking a few minutes to talk with us about what's
my
going
pleasure.
On.
Good
and
to
also
see you.
You, Tom.
You're very welcome.
Okay, that was Ron Hudspeth and Tom Borgeham. Scotty out. All right, well, we are now in the kind of still the foyer area where we have a lot of magicians always hanging out in front of the dealers area and everything, but we've got an exhibit that's set up over here by Greg Wilson. Mark and Nani are over there signing some autographs, and we've got Greg Wilson right now. Hi, Greg.
Hi there.
So glad to have you over here, and also the fact that you're preserving all these memories.
Well, thank you
really
so
great.
Much.
And so this is a major project. You've devoted your time to do this instead of more magic, I guess.
It's true. For about a year and a half, almost 2 years now, I've been exclusively focused on preserving the collection.
Now, are you planning on going to other conventions like you're doing here to continue this?
We were very fortunate to be invited to the SAM last year, and so we went to that. The IBM is the current one. I don't know about Magic Live. We're still working on that.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll
it's
see.
Just around the corner.
That's
know?
True.
So how have things been going so far here?
Fantastic. Of course, it's the Brotherhood of Magicians, so they're all coming in as friends and fans. And
Yeah. And so many people that I'm sure that you see and that your mom and dad see that they have known for so many years and everything then, too.
Andre Cole just came by to say hi.
Was he? Oh, how nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Of course, this is hometown here.
That's true, but we've missed him for many years, yes.
Well, yeah, and sorry he's not doing any better. I wish
I'm
glad he came by. That's good.
Yeah.
So just real quickly before we wrap up over here, but I just want to thank you again. So what are you looking forward to as far as the performers and convention? What else? You already gave your little lecture. You gave your lecture then, but what are you looking forward to seeing?
Oh, I've heard that the next couple nights of shows are supposed to be spectacular,
fantastic.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing them.
Yep. As a performer, you like watching other performers too, don't you?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I like being fooled.
Have you had anything recently that has really kind of fooled you, close up or stage?
You know, watching the Alakazam shows, I'm fooled quite often.
By some of the things your mom and dad did way back when, ideas?
That's right.
Yeah.
And then I go to dad and I say, how did you do that? And he said, I forgot.
Oh, that's funny. That's even more funny. Great. Thanks very much. Appreciate
Thank you.
It. Magic Word Podcast. That's Greg Wilson. Scotty out. All right, well, we're just ventured into the dealer's room, and somebody who is always right at the front door, I don't know how he does it every time, here, Harry Allen. Hello, Harry.
Sorry. Hey, it's not how he does it, it's why does he do it. That's what it is.
Right. Crazy guy. So how's the convention been? I mean, we got hundreds of people here, so been having a lot of fun?
It's going real well. The energy level is very, very high. And if you're not having fun, then something's wrong, because it's all laid out to have a great time.
Yep, nope, that's for sure. And let me ask you, what's one of your hottest sellers you're finding right now?
Right now, it's the Insight Pro, which is very good.
Tell me.
It's where you have a card shoveled by the audience member. They set it down. You're on the other side of the room, and you tell them what card they laid down. They're not marked. There's no force.
No stooge.
No stooge. Nope. It's the cleanest you're ever going to see. It's phenomenal. It's Hugo Shelley's.
It's
phenomenal.
Insight.
Insight Pro. The other one is called Back to the Future. It's a follow-up trick where the deck spectator takes the deck. They turn them face up. They stop whenever they want, no force. And there's an envelope from the beginning on the table. Wherever they stop, that card is in the envelope. And remember, they're flipping them face up so they see the cards are flipping over.
They are handling the deck.
Back to the Future.
Wow, that sounds really great. Well, you know, I understand there are about 20-plus dealers here, and so a variety, because I know that Lupe Nielsen is here with Nielsen Magic, and we've got a few other people that are unique. I mean, like John Ferentino's got some stuff over there that are kind of some seance kind of things. So you got a good mix of things here.
A good mix. Whatever you want, pretty much, from illusions on down to the card tricks. We've got the flash paper, whatever you need, thumb tips.
Well, that's why that we always have to have Harry Allen, because, you know, that you are the one that has the stuff that is the standard requirements, that the sorcerer sidearms that we need.
I've also brought linking rings, which I sold out of, because they're going to be doing a Guinness Book of World Records here. And I was told in advance, bring some, and I wanted to, on the air of caution, because they're heavy. Yeah. So I didn't want to take any back with me. So I did sell out about all the ones we brought, which was great. And I also have the highest and newest end of electronic magic. We're doing very, very well with electronic magic, which
that's
is going
to be very popular.
It's extremely popular. We've got the Opus Book Test, which is terrific. We've got the Haunted Box, which is great. There's about eight more other electronic pieces that are just kind of like the modern way.
Right. Well, talking about conventions, by the way, that you got one coming up. Tell me about what's happening in Daytona.
Very excited. November 1, 2, and 3. We've got Lance Burton doing his show. First time at a magic convention at our convention. He'll be doing his whole show. But I got a phenomenal other lineup as well from Mondre. We've got Kyle and Misty. I got Stuart McDonald, Chad Long, Giovanni Levere, Gold Cups winner at the IBM. More and more talent. Rocco is going to be doing a lecture there. It's just over the top at a nice resort on the ocean in Daytona Beach.
Yeah, it's a pretty place. Same place you've had it before?
Yes. The Hurricane knocked us out a couple times. We were at the Hilton, but now we're back to the Daytona Beach Resort.
That's great. It's a very nice venue that you got over there.
It is. It is good. Great time of year in the 70s. In the daytime, it's beautiful.
Where can people go to sign up and register for the convention?
Go to DaytonaMagic.com, brand updated website, and there's a convention button. Just click on it, and you're there.
Is Becky here, by the way?
Who?
Becky, is
she here? Becky is not here. Becky's back at the shop anchoring it. We've got Wayne here, one of my main guys on the road.
Okay.
Yeah. She'll be happy.
It's been busy. We'll tell her hello. We miss her.
Consider it done. You know it.
Well, good luck. Continued good luck then, Harry. Always good to see you, buddy.
Always a pleasure. You're the best.
Magic Word Podcast. That was Harry Allen. Scotty out. All right. Well, while we're in the dealer's room, you never know who you're going to be running into. And I'm running into another person who is part of the book talent here, who you don't see a lot of times, because you're out to sea, aren't you, a lot, I assume?
I'm out working all over the place.
All over the place.
Yeah, fundraisers to cruise ships. It's nuts. We're jumping out of planes, and you can't reach me there.
There we go. David Da Vinci. Hey, David.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And this, you've got some things that are recorded on a podcast then as well.
Yeah, so I've got the Magic Master Summit, and it's about 66 episodes, I believe, now, and it's all about the business of magic.
Yeah.
And it's its own little niche.
I just talked to somebody not more than 15 minutes ago, and he was saying that he had subscribed to that, and he said it's one of the best things. He said, I wish there were more podcasts where they were talking about marketing the business. And I wish he said there was a convention where they talked just about that. He was complaining a little bit because that all of this really were more tricks and things.
Yeah.
But these are not full-time professionals for this kind of an organization, you know. But the kind of thing that you talk about is something that people really need to know if you want to be a professional.
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you. I appreciate that kind of feedback. You know, what I set out to do with the Magic Master Summit was give people a platform where they could go and learn from people, from Michael Finney, from Sean Farquhar, from you know, just the best of the best on all these different elements of business. So if you want a two-wall, if you want a four-wall, if you want to do a close-up show and rent out a room, if you want a tour, like all these different people, Greg Gleason, just the best of the best.
Murray Sawchuk, talk about social media.
Yeah. And so branding is a big thing, and just kind of finding your niche within the business. And there's something in that episode, in those episodes for everybody.
Right. Now, you're going to be on the show tonight, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday?
Tomorrow night.
And you're closing the show tomorrow night then?
Yeah, so tomorrow night's the gold medal show. Yeah. I got to watch the competition too.
How was it?
Today. It was, I got to say, I've only seen half of the competition. I got in late yesterday. And today I want to say Elliot Hunter absolutely smashed it out of the park. It was amazing. Really stood out today as the number one, in my opinion.
Yeah. And you're not a judge, so you can give
No, I'm not a judge. Yeah. He also did win my Magic contest through my Magic Master Summit.
Oh,
so
funny. Okay.
I have seen him before, and he's become a friend over the years. So maybe a slight bias, but I, like I said, I just saw half, and he knocked out of the park. Phenomenal. If you guys don't know who Elliot Hunter is, you will definitely know who he is soon.
Listen for that name.
Yeah, and so hopefully, I'm guessing he'll be on the show tomorrow with me, and then I'll wrap up the show tomorrow with my bird act, and...
Did you bring some big illusions as well?
It's just the Dove Act. Oh, okay. And Elliot's right here. Look at this. I was just talking about you.
Oh,
crap. Yeah, so I'm just wrapping up with my bird act, and that's it, which is kind of, it's neat because it's full circle. I competed in IBM as a kid with a bird act and then went on and performed, and now I'm kind of coming back into IBM. And
right.
Instead of competing, I'm performing this year, so that's a lot
of
fun.
That's great, yeah. So when was your first IBM convention? Do you remember attending?
98, when Sean Farquhar won.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so were you kind of getting into magic at the time, and this was something that you would encourage other people to attend conventions?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I think there's more benefit for the younger generation than they would realize. You know, for millennials and Gen Z, you know, everybody kind of wants to learn online, and that's great because you really can learn a lot online. I produce an online conference, as we talked about.
Right.
But I think there's something missing from that social aspect. When you come to these conventions, like you said, you never know who you're going to run into. There's people that you will see on YouTube that are here, the YouTube stars that are teaching. You get to meet them. You get to find out their journey and learn how that can apply to you. And, you know, friendships are formed and masterminds are formed in different ways to impact your life in ways that aren't available in online-only type platforms. So for people wanting to come to IBM or considering coming to a bigger convention, IBM is amazing, and I recommend it for sure.
I remember hearing both Jeff McBride and Lance Burton encouraging particularly youth to get involved with contests because you forge friendships that last a lifetime because you're kind of in the pit, you know, kind of so to speak, you know, competing against each other, but it's not like, you know, you're rooting for each other.
Yeah. You know, Dan Sperry and Adam Trent are two names that stick out to me who came and they competed at IBM, and their acts got shredded. Right, people for good, bad, or indifferent, they got torn apart.
Well, those discouraged.
And those are two headliners now that said, you know what, we're going to do it. And they networked with people they met here.
Yeah.
Dan Sperry's one of the best in the world. Adam Trent's one of the best in the world, and they're certainly the most busy and successful in my generation of competitors from IBM. So even if you don't win, or even if you get knocked down and shredded by judges, at the end of the day, they either took that information and went with it, or they left it and moved on, but they all have become successful entertainers through a lot of that experience and exposure here, where they're challenged and pushed in ways that you don't get in the normal world. You really benefit from that at a convention.
Right. Good advice. That's exactly what I want to hear. Not just me. I want the listeners to know about this, too, and, you know, from your experience and what you're suggesting for others, I think that they should be coming to these kinds of conventions.
Absolutely.
We're not seeing the kinds of numbers we did at one time, and I think that's because a lot of us older gray-haired people, you know, are kind of dying off, but we really need to get the younger people involved into contests and things like that.
Yeah, you know, I'm starting to do a lot of fundraiser shows and running into Shriners who are also having the same problem. They're saying, hey, you know, membership is really low with Shriners.
Young people are not joiners in general.
They're not joining the groups, and I think it's out of just a lack of understanding, and maybe we talk with somebody at IBM that offers a very inexpensive entry level for youth to come in, and I know that they do a great job with you know, Lance Burton teen seminars and some amazing stuff. And you know, I mean, heck, I mean, if you want to meet Lance Burton, not very many magicians become millionaires off of a bird act, right? So that's where his whole career started, and now multimillionaire off of this. And you get to hear his story. In fact, you get to meet him, you get to work with him, and he's at all these things. And you know, he's just walking around. And my first experience meeting Lance was at a competition. I tied for second, and Lance is handing out the check. And he announces the winner, you know, which was Dan Sperry, and then tied for second. It was me and another entertainer, and he only had one check, so he ripped it in half, gave us each half.
That's
so now
funny.
I've got this connection with Lance Burton that he remembers when I see him, and it's turned into a friendship. And I think that the young magicians kind of forget about some of that, and maybe don't realize the power behind getting to meet these people that they look up to, whether it's TV, whether it's YouTube.
They're magician superstars.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, it's just different having it online versus in a social aspect than you do one-on-one where I'm looking you in the eye right now kind of a thing, and getting to know these people on a personal level.
Yeah, you know, in a kind of unrelated field that still ties into magic, I also train parrots. And so there's an article on me in Magic Magazine with me and a toucan. So I get a call from David Copperfield's office. This is maybe 10 years ago now. Hey, you know, David Copperfield wants to use toucans in the show. And I call back. I said, no, click. Well, then 5 minutes, Copperfield calls me. Right, fast forward, that leads to me going out, hanging out with him on his private islands, training birds. And as a kid, you know, I'm watching this living legend perform, and now I'm training birds with him, singing karaoke with the four people that are on his island. And it was
Mushiki.
In Mushiki, and it was absolutely amazing to have those opportunities. And that comes from just networking constantly, and you don't get that the same when you're a keyboard warrior, right? Now, there's a lot of great information online.
Of course, no question.
But there's so much power behind, like, look, hey, I wouldn't have met Copperfield if I hadn't have done what I did. I wouldn't get to meet Lance if I hadn't done what I've done. So, you know, we all have our own path to get there. But like I keep saying, you know, the networking aspect of conventions is huge. And I'm not a big convention goer, but I've been saying to my wife, you know, I'm putting it on the calendar every year now that I just want to go do these to meet up with people and do more events like this.
And network.
It's so important. You know, I lost IBM in like 2000, and it led to a performance in Shanghai, China, that led to touring as a headlining guest act on Murray Hatfield's tour. Mm-hmm. It led to other things, and that was all because I entered a competition and I lost. So imagine what would happen if I entered that competition and won. You know,
I entered a contest and lost also, and I've been booked for some expensive shows. We've gotten some, you know, really good money, you know, from some people who were in the audience saying, "I really like your show." Although you didn't win, I like, you know, your personality or whatever you did. You never know.
Yeah. So for people that are like, oh, you know, I couldn't go in and win, hey, it's not about winning. It's about getting that exposure. And I can tell you firsthand, somebody I talked to that was in the contest today got a couple of leads. And the announcements haven't even been said who won or is placed that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
So there's so many benefits that, I mean, you could fill a whole web page with all the benefits of coming out and doing this live.
Well, we maybe need to sit down and talk for about an hour sometime.
We'd love to.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks.
For the Magic Word Podcast, that was David Da Vinci. Scotty out.